program reported on the plight of the city's homeless people. I don't know how many people were watching that night, but an 11-year young boy named Trevor Farrell was among them. Now, Trevor was a child of the suburbs of Philadelphia's elegant main line, and it much disturbed the lad to think that there were others nearby who did not have homes and whose Christmas would pass in misery. And so the 11-year-old pleaded with his parents, please could they find and help some homeless person. Well, the Farrells were not entirely enthusiastic about the suggestion. The neighborhood they would have to explore was dark and it was dangerous. It was quite cold out that night. Deep down, Trevor's mother and father did not feel like taking on the problems of the world, so they tried to explain to their son that, for the most part, those people who roamed the streets had made a decision to live the way they did. But Trevor wasn't buying that, and he kept pestering his parents until finally they gave in. And that very night, that Christmastide, the boy took a blanket off his own bed, and the Farrell set out for the inner city in search of a derelict. It would be a good lesson, thought mother and father, to teach Trevor that it was one thing to feel sorry for somebody you saw on television, quite another to come face to face with the ugly realities of life. The Farrells were not long in locating a homeless person that night. It was Trevor who first spotted the shoeless bundle of rags curled up on a frozen sidewalk grate. The car had not quite come to a stop when the youngster leaped out. He walked up to the old man with a scraggly beard and put the yellow blanket around his shoulders. And the old man looked up in disbelief at his young benefactor, and he murmured, "Thank you and God bless you." And Trevor got back into the car. The Farrells drove back to the warmth and safety of their suburban home. But the darkened corners of Philadelphia had not seen the last of that little boy. For the next evening, Trevor begged his parents again to take him on a similar mission. And the next evening, and the next evening, and each night, after bestowing some material comfort on one of the city's homeless, the youngster would return home, not so much with the feeling that a good deed had been done, but with a burning conviction that much more needed to be done. And for weeks afterward, Trevor, accompanied by his astonished parents, went back to the streets with whatever food and bedding he could carry. And when Mom and Dad could spare no more, the boy appealed to relatives and then to neighbors. And today, it's 5 years later. The campaign of love that began with the child's spontaneous burst of sympathy is now a full-blown, full-time, million-dollar charity operation with fledgling chapters around the country and thousands of volunteers. You see, Frank Farrell, young Trevor's father, was subsequently so inspired by his son that he, the father, abandoned his own profitable electronics business to work alongside his now teenage boy, managing the charity at large and tending particularly to the local 30-bed shelter for street people called Trevor's Place. Thus, by a little child, was a city led. And as of December 1983, and every night since, there's a lighted byway in Philadelphia where it's Christmas all year long. And now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Buy the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on The Right Choice, KPRL.
And this is Darsha Stebbins sitting in for the duo, Darsha Stebbins and Kenny Show. And I am sitting in the what would technically, I guess, be called the right seat, but pilot in command, as we say. Anyway, thank you for the discussion that we had last half hour having to do with elections and voting and what's happening in our county, how you can vote. Not necessarily we won't go through who to vote for, although I have my personal opinions. But I can say, as a member of the Republican Party Central Committee, there are Republican Party endorsed candidates, you can go to rpsloc.org, and there are also candidates that may not be registered Republicans that are very qualified, excellent candidates. And that would include Michael Aaron Woody, who's running against Jim D'Antona in District 2 supervisor race. We also have, as far as the Republicans, there's some amazing candidates we have right here in San Luis Obispo County. We have a statewide race that is Stacy Korsgaden for the insurance commissioner. We have Shannon Kessler, who's running for the assembly district that Don Addis has had. And then we also have the county clerk recorder's race, which is an interesting race, with Vanessa Rosso and Gaia Powell, who are both registered Republicans. I'm not sure who I'm leaving out there, but we have some amazing candidates in South County. Bob Smith, retired Navy, amazing candidate. So people, please, 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 we have over 63,000 registered Republicans in the county of San Luis Obispo. No party preference, about 33,000. And the Dems have about 69,000. So it's not all that far off. And you putting in your vote, in whatever manner you would like to do that, please, by June 2nd. And we have a call. We'll go to the phone lines. Hi, welcome to Sound Off.
Hi, Darsha. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. What's on your mind?
Good. I want to change the subject a little bit. we've got a real important school board meeting for Paso Robles coming up on Tuesday.
We do.
Yeah. And we need to urge, I would like to urge as many people to please go to that school board meeting in Paso Robles next Tuesday and make your voice heard against this bond measure that Kenny Enney is fighting so hard to keep off the ballot and to keep from getting enacted here in Paso Robles. It's a $205 million bond issue, and we've got a couple things going against us. We've got declining enrollment. We've got kids that can't read, kids that can't do math, kids that can't really graduate, but they're graduating them anyway. And we've got a school district that is out of control spending-wise, and they're wanting $205 million more.
We've done such a bad job with your previous bond measures and your money that we now need to have more.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, let's hire more middle management people that we don't need for hundreds of thousands of dollars, making way more money than the average a citizen here in the county of San Luis Obispo, and let's hire more of them and let's have the taxpayers pay for it. That's pretty much what they're telling us.
And just to be clear, the Paso Robles Joint Unified School District trustee board meeting is going to be Tuesday night, this coming Tuesday night. I think that's the 26th. And it's at 6 p.m. or shortly thereafter, after they come out of a closed session. It is online. You can watch it online. But if you please show up in person, support the people trying to oppose the bond measure. The board will be voting whether or not to include the bond measure in the November ballot. So I'm trying to not confuse people by thinking that it's on their June 2nd ballot. Whether or not to have it included in the November general election. But this is $205 million bond measure, and you and I both know it's just like a mortgage. It's a loan, and when you're paying back $205 million, we're not sure exactly what interest rate will be floated, but the Lucia Mar was at 4.5%. So you're paying back that $205 million plus interest over 35 years. And the calculation is something north of $400 million, all said and done. And then what's happening all across the state, these bond measures, what's happening is then they're extending it not just 30 years, 35 years to 40, and then 45 years, because they can't quite make the payments. So this is all across the state. It's been an amazing, I'm calling it a scam, but you know, I get attacked for that. But please, Darcia, there must be other ways to do this.
I know that you're a CPA, and I know that you know the numbers. So tell your audience what they're looking like per household to pay this bond measure off in the next 35 years.
Yeah, what that means. So I looked at registered voters. There are over 30,700 registered voters, and that amounts to, if you look at the $205 million, it was something like $7,000 per registered voter, $14,000 per household. And then if you look at the $400 million, which is actually the number, then it's north of about $14,000 per registered voter. And we know that not a lot of those registered voters are necessarily taxpayers. They might be renters. They might be landowners. But I just looked at it per registered voter. And when you think about your household paying $15,000, $20,000 to a school bond, on a school bond, this is government overreach, in my opinion. There are much better ways to do this, and let's get the community involved. Let's have volunteers. Let's have people donate. If we need equipment, if we need work done, we can have the manual arts classes. We can learn how to have the kids be participating in learning how to paint, paint the building, do the maintenance. You know, let's get back to where we have a community. Well, thank you very much. We have another call. Anything else?
Yeah, real quick. The other good thing is people don't like to go to these school board meetings because they have presentations for the first 3 or 4 hours, and you sit there before you can actually say something. I heard from a very reliable source that this is going to be at the beginning of the meeting. So this discussion, this vote, is going to happen at the beginning. So you guys can show up at 6. You'll be out of there by 7 or 7:30. So we need at least 50 people to show up. I know my wife and I are showing up Tuesday, and we need at least 50 people to show up in support of no on that bond measure.
Excellent. Thank you, Randall.
Okay. Thanks, Darcia.
And welcome to Sound Off.
Hi. So continuing on about the board meeting, I encourage people to go back and look at the Paso Robles Unified School District YouTube channel for May 12th, because that's when they did the main presentation. And that was a discussion only, so it's brought back to us here this coming Tuesday. And in that presentation, it's going to tell you how much it's going to add to your tax bill. Every taxpayer is going to be taxed an extra $300 and some odd a year for just this bond measure. And that's significant. It's significant to a lot of people, and because it's certainly added to your monthly nut, of course. But if you go back and you listen to that presentation, and part of the discussion from one particular board member was when she made the comment that we needed to pass this because students did better when they were in a nicer environment.
And I think the word she used was safe.
Did she?
I think that was the word, yes.
Okay, well, but she's also the one that said the campus looks like a prison yard.
Mm-hmm.
And it does. It's trash. Well, you're not going to change that with this bond. You can develop all of the nice facilities that you want, but if you still got students who are uneducated and are out of control and disrespectful, that's where you got to get a handle on it before you have any kind of a decent learning environment. It doesn't come from developing a nice state-of-the-art kitchen for those who think they might want to go on into the culinary business.
Agreed. And in private industry, we call it the tone at the top. You're wanting to change culture, and that doesn't necessarily mean that it's spending more money on a facility. You might have a beautiful looking barn, but if the animals aren't fed, cared for, everything else maintained, that barn will start. It's just like the projects. I mean, let's call it what it is.
Yes.
If you are throwing money at something and it doesn't change the culture and there's not accountability, it in 5 years. They'll need another bond, just like they keep needing bonds and bonds and bonds and bonds. And what we need is a change in the culture. And Kenny and I have talked in the last several shows about what this bond measure is trying to do, what they're saying, and we don't even know. This 60-slide presentation has nice things. I mean, to me, it's kind of a boilerplate of all of the different bonds across the state. And I've been following some of these different bond measures. We had in November 2024, we had Lucia Mar bond measure that was $143 million, Atascadero, Templeton, they all had bond measures. And here's Paso Robles that was running a little bit later than the rest of them. And so the attempt is to get more money, more money, more money, put the tax pressure on the people. And, you know, I want to see the benefit. I want to know exactly what this money is going toward and how it's going to improve the results. How does this affect and how is this going to help our children, our future, have something that they can actually improve the educational system, the processes, and help these kids, because this is at a point where it's destructive to many of the students that are going there.
Well, I don't think that this bond measure is going to solve any problem other than dumping more money.
Exactly.
So if you go back and you look, and I'm very pragmatic about this stuff, if you go back and you look at the facilities and you develop a plan to upgrade this and upgrade this and upgrade this, and you do it with the money you have instead of wasting the money, well, eventually the facilities will be nicer, but they certainly won't stay nicer if you don't get a handle on your students.
You're hired.
I'm sorry?
You're hired.
Oh, thank you, yes.
I appreciate your oversight and your financial oversight. You always have some very, very, following the city council, following the school boards. I appreciate that because I see it from a very similar standpoint. And I know that as a community, we care about our children. We care about the students that are falling behind. And we know that there needs to be more discipline in the schools. It's not a hard formula. There needs to be more discipline. There needs to be accountability and a change in the culture. So,
and there needs to be a change on the board from the people who are there who just go along to get along.
Exactly.
And something different needs to happen there, too, except for Kenny. He can stay.
We'll keep Kenny. All right. You just put that in there because he's not here today.
I know. I would have said it to his face. So.
Okay. And we had another call coming in. Please call right back. And we'll be going to a break pretty soon. But thank you so much for letting us know, keeping us informed. And please continue. So that meeting is Tuesday night, 6 o'clock at the across the street from Paso Robles High School. It's right there.
It is. And just be aware, too, that this board is famous for limiting the number of people who can speak on an issue.
Exactly. Get there early.
Yeah.
Put in a slip. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
And welcome to Sound Off.
Hi there, Darcia. This is Dan. I want to change the subject a little bit.
Okay, and you can focus. Do that. It's open mic Friday.
Right. I'm concerned about the Second Amendment and the people we keep electing, keep destroying that, keep making it more difficult for gun owners to own guns. But what I want to specifically talk about is a group of local people that work very hard in supporting the Second Amendment, and that is members of a group called Slow County Gun Owners. We are a chapter of the California Rifle and Pistol Association. This is a group of, or the association has been around since 1885, but in the last 4 or 5 years, it has really grown. Our chapter's been in, we've been around for about 4 years. We're beginning to start making a difference. We do a lot. We try to help the kids in a lot of different ways. We help out at the Kamada Ranch for the fish and wildlife pheasant hunts and We helped out in Paso for the kids fishing tournament, and we're really trying to get busy. The idea is we're looking for more members though too, and I have a website that if you're interested in the Second Amendment, you really need to go to that. That is crpaslo.org.
Excellent.
And that'll give you more information about what we do and the things that we actually are involved in. The CRPA itself has two full-time lobbyists in Sacramento. We have a little more clout up there, I think, than the NRA, because the NRA realizes the difficulty of working in California, mm-hmm. and their resources may be sent somewhere else where they might actually help. But we do a lot. The other thing we're involved in is training. CRPA has many different classes that for people with gun owners, for gun owners. If you don't know anything about guns at all, there's an initial class on just gun ownership that you can get through Uncle Ed's Outfitters, through the CRPA. They're all certified by the CRPA. That's all the trainers.
And so, you have monthly meetings. CRPA has monthly meetings. When and where is the next meeting?
Okay, our monthly meetings are the third Wednesday of the month. Or is it it's the fourth Wednesday of the month.
I think it's this upcoming.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's the fourth. It's the next Wednesday at 6:00, and we have them at the Republican headquarters because they got room for us. Anyway, so 6:00 on Wednesday, and we're going to be there. One of the things we're focusing on is the fair. We have a big booth up there, and we're looking for people to help us out, and if you could, that would be great. We're going to have some, how do I want to say it, gifts or stuff for people that volunteer.
Lots of things to look at the fair. The booth is right down from the Republican Party booth. I've seen it many times and a member, so thank you for calling in, letting us know about that. We're going to head into a break, and please, there was another call coming in. Please give us a call back after the break. Thanks, Dan.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
At least two senior Walmart executives are reportedly exiting their positions. Lenovo stock surging Friday after reporting its fastest quarterly revenue growth of 27% in 5 years, thanks to AI demand. The personal computer giant said that sales of AI-enabled devices and infrastructure made up 38% of total revenue. Take-Two Interactive Software posting better-than-expected quarterly earnings, but provided a weak outlook. The company behind the massively popular Grand Theft Auto franchise has delayed the release of its sixth installment several times. Wall Street rallying Friday ahead of the Memorial Day weekend, Dow ending up 294 points, S&P rising 28, NASDAQ gaining 51. And that's your Fox Business Report. I'm Laura Cantor, invested in you.
You know, protecting your home should not be a headache. Many security companies, they lock you into these multi-year contracts. No, SimpliSafe Home Security, they do things differently. With SimpliSafe, you get award-winning 24/7 professional monitoring around $1 a day without any long-term commitment. SimpliSafe, they just want to earn your trust every day by doing a great job. Right now, you'll get 50% off your custom system by going to simplisafe.com/Hannity, half off when you go to simplisafe.com/Hannity. And remember, there's no safe like SimpliSafe.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Looking for the perfect getaway without going too far? Experience the beauty of Allegretto Vineyard Resort, recently named Gold for the best Paso Robles hotel and best resort in the 2026 Central Coast Best Award. Enjoy peaceful vineyard views, elegant rooms, and the welcoming atmosphere locals love at Cello Restaurant and Bar. Discover award-winning cocktails recognized with silver for the best specialty cocktails. For a memorable stay or staycation right here in Paso Robles, book your visit at Allegretto Vineyard Resort today.
Protect your home or business. Trust the experts at JV Roofing. With over 20 years of experience, JV Roofing delivers reliable, high-quality workmanship you can count on. From shingle, tile, and metal roofs to TPO and PVC systems, they have the expertise to handle it all. Family-owned, licensed, and bonded, they show up and get the job done right. Visit jvroofingca.com or call 805-674-1383 today for free estimates. JV Roofing, quality you can trust.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
And welcome back from the break. And we have, we can go right to the phone lines, but Darsha Stebbins sitting in for Darsha and Kenny show. And we're talking elections, we're talking school bonds, we can talk about water, we can talk about the state of the state. But today is Open Mic Friday, so we go right to the phone lines. And welcome, you're on the air.
Oh, a quick question about going to a meeting, like the school board meeting. How does the board know whose side the people there are on? Do we get a placard at the door to hold up, or we have to wear a certain colored hat?
Well, thank you for asking. And the board doesn't necessarily know who's supporting, but one of the things that when I go to Board of Supervisors meetings or other school board meetings or city council, one of the things you can do is just stand up as somebody is speaking. You can stand up, and that's a way to support. There are little cards you can bring. I support, and just a way to visually be able to let them know that you support whoever the person is that's speaking. So please, you know, this is a community. It's an open to the public board meeting. And earlier, Jan was indicating that, you know, sometimes they'll only allow 20 minutes for a certain topic. So there may only be, they may limit it to 2 minutes, or if they give the full 3 minutes to be able to speak, they may just limit the entire topic to 20 minutes. So if you get there early, you can put in a speaker slip and just say, you know, you can even say, I support the previous person that came up and spoke, and I'll yield my time, or whatever it may be. But it's really important that the board understand that this is something that the community has input, and just showing up. You'd be surprised when there's only five people there in the public, and it's, you know, the impression to the board is that people don't really care about this. Well, if we 300 people show up and they're standing room only, they realize, oh, okay, we better make sure that we're on, you know, that we're voting in a manner in which it represents the people.
Well, yeah, but they don't. How would they know which side those 300 are?
You can bring signs. You can bring a placard. You can just have a piece of paper that says, "I know on the bond measure." Be creative.
Okay, so you can bring placards.
You can bring placards. Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. And
all right.
And it's really more about having a visual, people showing up. And when people show up, then it lets the board know that they're supposed to be serving the people. They're supposed to be serving the constituents. Unfortunately, in today's world, the government authority or the government officials, and I use those in air quotes, think that they're the ones making the decision, they're in charge, and it has been completely flipped from we the people. So we the people need to start showing up. So thank you. Loved it. I'll look forward to seeing you on Tuesday night, 6 o'clock.
Good night.
Okay.
Good afternoon.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
And welcome to Sound Off.
Hi there. First of all, I'd like to thank you for the wealth of proper, clear information that you provide us. Second of all, we get lots of people coming in telling us stories about how people come in and harvest ballots at all the different type of adult care facilities. So I just want to bring that to people's attention. So to watch out for your loved ones on how their registration may be changed, number one, or even registered or not registered. Number two, I had an experience at the Atascadero Recorder's office. I wanted to vote in person on a ballot, not a vote by mail ballot. So obviously I'm learning a lot, but however, I'll try to be concise and give you a slip of just what happened in a particular situation. I went to the Atascadero Recorder's office and said I wanted to vote right then and there. I was given a piece of paper to fill out my name, address, birth date, and there were several boxes to be checked, and I believe the one that they checked was want to vote now without an envelope. From what I saw and understood, she printed out, first of all, there were a little bit of discussion between both of the people working there. I believe it looked like one was being trained, and the other one who came up wanted my vote-by-mail ballot, which I purposely left at home, because from what I understand, once you get that in the mail, it is my personal property. It is my personal property, and I don't need to turn that in. However, I can vote. I can take. Okay, sorry, I'm getting off track.
Yeah, I'll try to help you out here because I was trying to clarify. This is a new process in our county. We are not a vote center county. And that's a clear distinction in the law in the elections code. What we have precincts on election day to vote in person. What they're doing this election, starting this election, is that you can vote in person with your vote by mail ballot without the envelope, because you're going in person and you're signing a form saying that you are this person at this registered address and that you are voting your vote by mail ballot at the satellite office, at the Atascadero office. Now, that's not a polling location. It's not a precinct location. That's why you have to use that vote-by-mail ballot. If you want to get a precinct ballot, that's going to be on election day. That is an in-person precinct ballot.
Got it. So so because there was a lot of confusion out there with the information that I'm reading on different threads from the recorder's office, okay, so to continue my story quickly, because I know time is of the essence. She printed out a new ballot, put a barcode sticker at the top, and then folded the ballot, then opened the ballot, laid it flat, and put it in a long folder, gave it to me. I went to vote. I returned the folder to the counter. She proceeded to open it, look at the front, looked at the back, then folded it again, then put it back in the folder, folded, then went to the ballot box behind her and slipped it in through the folder. So something was clearly wrong with that whole procedure, and I'm not happy. But I'm learning based on what you just said. I understand that. But that whole situation was, I'm sorry, not proper.
Yeah. And what I'm concerned about is that there's, we still have, no matter if you're voting in person or with your vote by mail ballot, there is the secret ballot. So at no point in time is an elections official or a precinct worker or anyone else supposed to be looking to see where they can see how you voted. So that, to me, is unfortunate. Yeah. And I believe that that can be an incident report, what we call an incident report. And even there's a way to submit incident reports to the sheriff. We haven't had specific authorization to do that from the sheriff's office. But two elections ago, we did. and I can get with you, and we could even do an incident report. They'll be available at the Republican Party headquarters. And the Election Integrity Project California has a really good incident report where you feel that your either your rights were violated or that the confusion in the process was such that you felt that you were not provided an adequate method or manner in which to cast your vote.
Yes, thank you so much. I will follow up with that. May I say something else?
Yes, of course.
The previous day, I had called in to just get some just concise information and proceeded. Instead of answering my precise question, she started questioning me, where are you calling from? And it nerved me, and maybe I didn't speak politely, but I said, what does it matter where I'm calling from? And she hung up on me, okay?
So that's, oh, boy. Okay,
and
well,
that's the same person who helped me at the counter. I don't want to talk about it anymore. I just wanted to share that. Can I one more information about the school board? It's so important when someone is speaking that you agree with against the measure bond, is to stand up. Just simply stand up. Now, if you're already standing, and we don't know that until you don't know how many people are going to be there, just bring a piece of paper and put "I support." That way you could hold it up when somebody is against the measure bond that they're trying to pass, and you can just hold that up so that it's clear and it's easy. Number two, I know I'm talking too long, is you can ask for how they spend their money. You can get that report. Ask them how to spend their money and get that, and then ask them to break it out, because there could be a line item that just says a bill of Amazon or whatever. I don't want to buy everybody's coffee there. Okay, I don't care how minute it is. I don't want you to go in the morning on your way to your board of your office to go get your Starbucks coffee. I'm not paying for that, and we are.
Thank you so for standing
for
up, and thank you for the clarification. Okay. I appreciate your call. And welcome to Sound Off.
Hello?
Yes, hi, you're on the air.
Cool. Hey, I heard a phrase today about water pirates up in the North County area. Do you know what that's all about?
Oh, I sure do.
Well, explain it.
All right. I'll try to be concise about this. So over the last 12 or 13 years, there have been a group of people referred to as the water pirates. Those are high dollar, perhaps even billionaires, that are in our county that are trying to donate to, usually it's to Bruce Gibson, Supervisor Bruce Gibson's campaign in 2022, and control the Paso Robles area groundwater basin. So when Bruce Gibson, quote, won by 13 votes, he then put himself on the Paso Robles. At that time, it was a committee. He put himself on the committee to be the chair of the committee, and took off the supervisor, Debbie Arnold, and or John Pichong, who were the District 1 and District 5 supervisors that actually had constituents over the Paso Robles Basin. He put himself on the board and then appointed Matt Turrentine to be chair of the board. And then he continues to sit on that board that then became PRAGA, which is Paso Robles Area Groundwater Authority. So the water pirates are the people who are donating to campaigns, who are using pumping groundwater and using that groundwater to the detriment of others in the Paso Robles Basin.
So they're taking water from the ground and...
Yes, it has to do with irrigated ag. And then what has transpired over the last 4 or 5 years, That was even 12 years ago. There was a vote of the people, AB 2453, where they said, we do not want to be a groundwater. We don't want to be an agency. We don't want the water pirates, as they're called, to be the authority. And so that was a vote of the people, and it got voted down handily. Then it came back another. If you could turn down your radio, I'm just getting some feedback.
I don't have my radio on.
Okay, great. So then what happened later is last summer, they tried again to tax the people instead of the actual ones who were using and pumping the groundwater. And keep in mind, they're different agencies. There's the city of Paso Robles is one of the agencies involved, the county of San Luis Obispo, there's the Estrella El Pomar, and there's San Juan Chandon. San Miguel is kind of its own, but what's happened is through legal means, they're trying to tax the people who are pumping the groundwater, but they're also taxing the entire community for the use of their water. And we have to go right to a break, but thank you for bringing that up. Listen to KPRL in the morning, and you'll hear more.
This Friday, May 22nd, it's the first concert of the summer at Vintage Community in Templeton featuring the Mark Adams Band.
Hey, I was out last night, started a fight, feeling bad this morning and looking the sight, stumbling and a-bumming and feeling for the knob of my door.
The Mark Adams Band this Friday at Vintage Community, 690 Peterson Ranch Road, just up from the CHP. Concert is at 6:30, free and open to all ages. Bring a chair, a picnic, or buy food and drinks at the concert. The Mark Adams Band this Friday.
Are you prepared? Uncle Ed's Outfitters is offering basic to advanced training. They are licensed CPRA, NRA, USCCA, and offer specialty classes in firearms assembly and maintenance courses. It's good to own a firearm, but it's a perishable skill, and you need to be prepared to use it. Open Tuesday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Find us at AtascaderoGunShop.com. Uncle Ed's Outfitters in Atascadero on South El Camino Real in the Oaks Plaza.
Junior, you know why my TV is turned down so low? Last week, I went down to see Peter Lucier, hearing aid specialists of the Central Coast. He's a nice young feller who tested my hearing. He had me try on these nearly invisible hearing aids. See? They ain't got no buttons or nothing. By gum, I hear like I'm 29 years old. Call Peter at Hearing Aid Specialists. Dial 805-460-7385. Or use your smartphone and go to SlowCountyHearingAids.com.
Welcome back to Sound Off Friday, Open Mic Friday. That means that the call lines are open, and it means please give us a call, 238-5775, or a text, and we'll try to get to the text line. I haven't seen too many other than a recommendation. Someone, Darsha, do you have a recommendation for the Superintendent of Public Instruction? So I do have... yes, I do have that. What I'm wanting to do is I can go through some of the approved or endorsed candidates for the Republican Party, but the Superintendent of Public Education is amazing, amazing candidate out of Chino Hills. That's Sonia Shaw. And she has really come forward in the whole during COVID, and then also having to do with the boys in girls sports. So men competing in girls sports, and some of you know the whole issue with track and field, what's been going on, that there were men in girls sports. And I personally, as an athlete growing up, playing co-ed sports, playing, you know, male, female, whatever, it is definitely a difference. And, you know, these girls that are growing up in high school, their locker rooms need to have private spaces, and they need to be able to compete against other girls, not against men. That's my opinion. But Sonia Shaw is an amazing candidate. Find out about her. You can look her up. She's been doing a great job campaigning across the state. But she has my recommendation and also the endorsement of the California GOP. And welcome to Sound Off. You're on the air.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing great.
I called a couple weeks back and asked this question. It was right at the end of the show, and we got cut off. With the mail-in ballots, if you plan on voting in person on election day, what's the correct protocol for getting rid of the mail-in ballot?
Well, thank you for stating that very well. You know that I am constitutional. So when it comes to the U.S. Constitution, we have election day. So I prefer to vote on election day in person with a paper ballot that I can be assured will be counted election day. And it's actually after the polls close, it gets taken down to the San Luis Obispo County Clerk's office. So here's let's do a walkthrough. There's two ways. I'll go the less potentially confrontational way. You received your vote by mail ballot in the mail. It has, you've opened it up and you've looked at the top. That is your polling place location at the very top, tear off slip. That is your receipt. You take that vote by mail ballot and the envelope if you want, but truly it is the vote by mail ballot. That is an active ballot. You take that into your polling place location. Be sure you also have looked up there to see your precinct number. It'll have a CON for consolidated and then a three-digit number. The first digit is your supervisor district, and then it will be mine is 110. So district 1, precinct number 10. So in that polling place location, which might be a church, it might be a library, it might be a community center, it might be wherever, there may be two or three different precincts represented. So you need to make sure that you go to your number, numbered precinct. You show up at your precinct, it'll have boxes and forms showing, you know, precinct 110. For example, mine's at the Warbirds. So I go to Warbirds, I say I would like to vote in person, I'd like to get a precinct ballot, and they will say, do you have your vote by mail ballot? Yes, I do. And I say, okay, am I on? Well, checking in with e-poll pads this year, not just the voter roster, will I be receiving a precinct ballot? Yes, I either cross out or void my vote by mail ballot so that it cannot be used again. I can void that. I can tear it up. It's my personal property. I can tear it up. I can do whatever I want with it and hand it back over to them so that it is no longer an active ballot. They give me a precinct ballot. I go to the booth. I vote my people. You can bring a picture of your ballot. You can bring something, but you cannot bring two active ballots at any point in time. So you have to surrender or exchange your vote by mail ballot for a precinct ballot. Then you vote it, you come back over, and you put it into the precinct box. No envelope, flat, beautiful, never been folded ballot. Put it into the precinct box. Those get counted. And those get taken to the San Luis Obispo County Clerk's office that night. I'm usually down there on election night. And between 10 o'clock, maybe 9:30, some of the closer precincts, 9:30 to about 12:30 in the morning, all of those are run through the tabulators. Boom, 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 fast, done. If you go, the other method is just to say, I do not have my vote by mail ballot with me. I left it at my house, whatever it might be. Then they need to call down to the county or look you up in the e-poll book to make sure that you have not yet voted with a vote by mail ballot in any other method or in person. So they want to make sure that you have not yet had a vote counted against your name. And in the past, they just call down to the county. It's not a big deal. And they say, nope, we don't have a ballot. They cancel out that vote by mail ballot so that it's no longer active. And they give you a precinct ballot. Isn't that beautiful? Okay. Constitutional, perfect. Just like it used to be.
Yeah. Vote on election day.
I like it. I just keep saying that it's constitutional. That's really where we want to go. And Donald Trump has issued several different executive orders that I believe will finally shore up our elections process, because the whole vote by mail ballot out to every single active registered voter is a huge issue. There's no chain of custody, and people receive 2 and 3, 4 ballots, and it's a mess. And that's why we have what we have. So thank you for being concerned. Do you have your plan? Do you have 3 or 4 people that you're going to go for coffee before or after or lunch or whatever it might be so that we can get everyone out to the polls on Tuesday, June 2nd?
I just want to be first in line.
All right. And what time do polls open? 7 a.m. Polls open at 7 a.m. They close at 8 p.m. on June 2nd. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right, so that's covering voting in person. I will also say that the county clerk recorder has asked to, apparently they still need staffing for some of the polling places. Folks, we want to keep these polling places open. We want to be able to vote in person on Election Day. So if you want to learn more about how to be a precinct worker, there are trainings going on all over the county. I do some trainings just to help people answer their questions, whatever it may be, through the Republican Party headquarters. But the county, you become a county employee. It's paid. There are two different shifts. One is from about 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. and 2 p.m. to about 8:30, 9 o'clock after the polls close. And here's how I'm going to get out your number 2 pencil, your mechanical pencil, or even your gel pen, whatever it might be. But you can go to slowvote.gov or slowvote.com, slowvote.com or slowvote.gov. And right on that main landing page at the county clerk recorders, they'll say, we're looking for precinct workers. The other thing you can do is call, and the number to call to be a precinct worker, we're actually part of the process, is 805-781-4989, 781-4989. We do not want to have them be able to shut down the Shandon precinct for lack of personnel. We do not want to have a power outage at the Creston Community Center like they had in 2024. We want everything to be fully staffed. We want more than enough people that they can pull from. They have a waiting list. If somebody's sick on Election Day, that there are 5 people in line that want to show up. Now, every member of the public is open for observation. If you want to be a poll observer, you can walk in and introduce yourself to the precinct inspector. Just let them know you're here to observe. And the most important thing when you are observing is just that word, the definition of the word. You are observing, you're taking notes. You can ask the election official questions, the precinct inspector, but you're to not interfere with the voting process at all. You are there as an observer. They will possibly have a place where you can stand and observe. You cannot be behind the tables of the precinct workers, but you can be toward the side or and just observe, take notes, and if you have any questions, you can give me a call. I'll even give out my cell phone number now that it's not tax season, 805-452-4544. We will have people through the Republican Party headquarters that will be volunteers. If you want to volunteer your time to make calls, text messages, whatever it might be, to promote candidates, we'd love to have your help. So make yourself a friend and a neighbor of the Republican Party headquarters right across. It's on El Camino, just past the Vaughn Shopping Center in Atascadero, across from The Habit. And make yourself a friend. We had a movie night last night. I'll talk about that. A movie night last night that was the battle at Athens, Texas. Not Athens, Georgia. Athens, Texas. Talking about veterans coming back from the war and realizing that they had a corrupt mayor, the sheriff was in on it, and how they, as these veterans coming back from the war, said, hey, enough is enough. So if you haven't seen the movie, I hadn't seen it until last night, Battle at Athens, Texas, It does involve the Second Amendment. So please, you have lots of options how to get involved. And hope to see you Tuesday night, 6 o'clock, for the Paso Robles School Board meeting. Wednesday is a PRAGA meeting, Paso Robles Area Groundwater Authority, 4 o'clock and 5 o'clock. Hopefully you'll hear more about that on in the morning on KPRL. Thanks for listening. Please get involved. Get your 10 people. I want to hear about it.
This hour of Sound Off was brought to you by Mid-State Precious Metals across the parking lot from the movie theater in Atascadero. Honest, veteran-owned. Buy or sell precious metals with integrity. Monday through Friday, 10 to 3.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com. Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.